great things are not accomplished by those who yield to trends and fads and popular opinion. Jack Kerouac.
And you know, you're at the end of this 200-mile hiking trip. You think I'd know what I was doing by then as far as comfortability, but I didn't. I was really just like, I just think I felt really vulnerable out there in the dark, like in the dark. I was really uncomfortable. So by, you know, it's only a 4.5 mile from Guitar Lake to the summit. It took me 4 hours. I mean, I was not going fast. I was going really slow. And I just felt weighed down by my pack. And I was, you know, I think hiking in the dark was really intense for me. But then I dropped my bear can off at the junction, and that helped a lot. And so then I got up there just as the sun was coming up, and I made it up there in time. My buddies were all up there, and it was cold, and it was absolutely incredible. Like, seeing the sun come up over, like, that 360 view is absolutely, it's incredible.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the Trail Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute, help us out. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. Well, this week we are heading back to the Sierras and talking to a relatively new backpacker who has just completed a solo hike of the John Muir Trail. Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, Luna Bailey. How's it going, Luna?
Good. Thanks for having me, Doc. I'm stoked to be here.
Absolutely. We're excited to talk to you. Because the Sierras, one of our favorite places, and the John Muir Trail, one of the best trails on the planet.
Probably the most magical place in the world. I don't know. After my experience, I'm like, I get the love for the Sierras now.
Okay. All right. You're promising a lot. I can't wait to hear about this.
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Now, you are familiar with the uniquely American tradition of trail names.
Yeah.
Typically, people will get a trail name out there on the trail, usually based on, you know, maybe where they're from, maybe on some kind of peculiar mannerism they have, or maybe something that happened on the trail. Did you happen to pick up a trail name out there?
I did. I was fortunate enough to pick up one, which is good because I really wanted one because I knew all about it. And I was like, I got to have a trail name. If I go the whole time without one, I mean, I don't want to be disappointed, but I'm going to be a little disappointed. So yeah, I did. I got one on day six.
You had to wait 6 days.
I know. But, you know, it had to be right, too. I had one other person try to offer me one, but it just, like, didn't really make any sense, and he was fishing. So I was like, I can't take that.
Okay. And so what trail name was bestowed upon you?
My trail name is Easy Rider.
Easy Rider?
Yeah.
Okay. Were you wearing a helmet and some sunglasses out there?
No. Sunglasses, yes. Helmets, no.
So tell us, how did you come by Easy Rider?
Yeah, so it was on day six, which was honestly like one of my worst days on the trail, which is kind of funny. I was coming up Silver Pass, and I was not really like in the best headspace. There were so many mosquitoes that day, and I was like coming up and like ideally looking back, I should have just stopped. I was coming up in the afternoon. I should have just stopped and like waited it out and like just chilled for a minute. But I was like, I just need to keep going. And there was mosquitoes eating me up the whole way, all the way to the top. It's like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm sweating. And I was just like, this sucks. Like, why am I here? Like, I don't know. It was rough. And I get to the top and I like see this little lake. So I like scurried down to the lake and I was like, oh my God, I'm finally at the top. I'm going to go for a swim. It's going to make me feel better. I'm going to go for a dip. So I went for a dip, my first alpine swim, my first lake swim of the trail. And then I get back up and I like talking to this couple on the PCT and they're like, you know, just introducing themselves and like, why are you here? Like, what trail are you doing? Like, da 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 da. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm out here to have a good time. You know, I got 5 weeks off work. I'm just here to enjoy myself. I'm taking it slow. I'm doing the trail and like, 23 days. Like, I'm, you know, I'm here to have a good time and enjoy myself. And they were like, wow, you're kind of an easy rider. And I was like, yeah, kind of. And the guy's like, that should be your trail name. And I was like, yeah, I love it. Yeah, I'm taking it.
Nice. Easy Rider. Yeah. Now, were you going northbound or southbound on
southbound.
The southbound? And so when you came up to Silver Pass, the lake was south of that then.
Yeah, it was just this like not a lake you're probably supposed to go to off the trail. I had to like scurry like down. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. I dropped like probably, you know, a good couple hundred feet, and like, but it was so clear and like perfect. And I knew no one was going to go there to like interrupt me because I wasn't in the best headspace. So, and it was National Hiking Naked Today, Naked Day. And I really wanted to swim naked. So I did a skinny dip. And so I was like, all right, well, no one's going to like, you know, come up right on me at the same time. So I just went for it.
Skinny dipping in an alpine lake. How was the temperature?
Cold, but fabulous. I was so hot. We were climbing up that pass at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Now, did the PCT hikers, did they come across you while you were still in the water?
Just as I had gotten out, and the girl had waved me, and she was like, hi, and I was like, hi, and I didn't know who she was, and then I got up there, and she's like, oh my god, I thought you were my friend, I'm so sorry, and I was like, well, we can be friends now, like, hi, you know, they were really cool.
Nice. Hey, Easy Rider, have you listened to the podcast before?
Yeah, I've listened to a couple episodes.
Okay. Which couple? Do you have a favorite episode?
I listened to the one with Lucky Charm.
Okay.
That was a good one. I really liked her stories about just traveling and like going with the wind. It was really inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I asked because I want to make sure that you are aware of a segment towards the end of the episode called the Pro Tip Insight of the Week. That's where I will turn to you and ask you to share some trail wisdom with our listeners to make sure make their next outdoor experience even better. So don't be surprised when we get there.
Hopefully I have some good trail wisdom.
Well, I'm sure you're going to drop trail wisdom throughout the episode.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. All right.
The Must Bring Gear Review.
Okay. Hey, another feature we've been doing this season is the Must Bring Gear Review, sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company Six Moon Designs. Here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Easy Rider, what is your must bring piece of gear?
And this is for an overnight hike, multiple day?
Multiple day.
Okay. I'm going to go kind of bougie on this one. I'm going to say my inflatable sleeping pad.
Okay. Well, that's not bougie. That's reasonable.
Sorry, my family's coming in. They're coming in bringing food. Yeah, no, I like the bougie sleeping pad. I don't know how people sleep on the Nemo fold up ones. I just can't do it. So I'm gonna bring my Nemo X-Lite Air sleeping pad.
Okay, now I have a question for you. Is that the squeaky brand? Is that the one that sounds like a potato chip bag when you're
That's
moving around on it?
Say, but I don't think it's that loud. I mean, I've had no one ever complain to me. That's what all the reviews are like. It's so loud. But I mean, I cowboy camped next to my friends that I met like for the last half of the trail, and they never said anything. So either they just, you know, wanted to ignore it and not hurt my feelings, or it's not that bad. So that's just my opinion.
They were either really polite or hard of hearing, or it didn't make any noise.
Or they just did not care.
Or they didn't care.
One of those options is probably it.
That's right. Now let's talk about gear for a little bit. What did your kit look like up in the Sierras? What'd you take? How big was your pack?
I had a 40-liter pack. I had a Hyperlite pack. I do like it. It was really hard to carry with the bear can. Looking back, I wish I kind of would have gotten, I wanted to do kind of like a mix of lightweight and like ultralight and kind of try some stuff out. And I knew about that brand and I was like, oh, I'll give it a try. You know, all these long distance hikers have it. Looking back, I need a little bit more comfort than that. So I just recently bought a new pack, so I did the Hyperlite pack, which is 40 liters, good size, just with the bear can and everything, a little awkward.
Did you use a bear vault bear canister?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the 500.
Was it the full size or the smaller size?
The 500, the big one.
Okay. And so how did you get that into a 40 liter pack?
So I like jerry-rigged it on the top with a bungee cord.
Mm.
So, and I'm like passing all these hikers, these PCT hikers, and they have these nice little straps that just go over the top. And I'm looking at them and going, where's my strap like that? I didn't have, where do these people get it? I just did it with a bungee cord. It worked. But then sometimes I'd be coming down the passes and someone would be like, hey, your bear can's like, you know, falling off the side. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. It is like, good. Thank you for telling me. Cause that could have gone down and I've been all my food. That would have sucked. So.
Yeah, sometimes something might fall off your pack, like a loose sock that you're drying out, or maybe a glove,
right,
and you wouldn't notice it. I mean, I have a feeling that if your bear canister fell off, you might notice that.
I would really like to hope so. I guess my concern would be it would fall down the side of a mountain. It would just like slide out when I was coming down a pass, and there would be nothing I could do. But it never happened. So,
a la Cheryl Strayed and her boot.
Right. Yeah.
Got it. Exactly. So you said a Hyperlite pack, 40 liter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what was your shelter system? What'd you take?
So I have a Nemo Hornet 2-person. A little bit more on the heavy side, but I've had that tent for a couple of years and it's like tried and true. It like just, you know, so easy to set up. I like the freestanding tent. It's easy. At the end of the night, I don't want to be like, okay, let me get my trekking pole out and like put it up. I just, maybe one day, but right now, no. Low maintenance.
Okay. And you said already the inflatable sleeping pad. Do you use a quilt or a sleeping bag?
I use a quilt. So I have an Enlightenment Equipment quilt. Mm-hmm. I love that thing. It's great.
Nice. I've found that once people try a quilt, there's usually no going back. They're sold on it.
Totally. It's a little bit weird at first. You're kind of like, okay, so this goes like around me or to my pad. I like mine around me. I just think it works better. But then you get used to it and you're like, wow, this is really nice. Like I stay so warm. You know, you fold it onto a blanket. It's fantastic.
Okay. Now you said, did you use the word bougie?
Yeah.
Really? Bougie. What? So I'm assuming you're kind of bougie. What luxury items did you take, if any?
I'm like not bougie, but then I am. I think I like to be comfortable. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really feel like I took any luxury items. I mean, I brought like a small journal. I had a stove. Maybe that's luxury to some people. Gosh, those are probably the only, I guess a stove would be luxury to some people, but not really to me. I like something hot.
Did you bring a lightweight chair?
No.
No.
That might be something I might consider in the future. A chair would be nice. That was the one downside of having the inflatable pad is I didn't have the accordion pad to sit on. Mm-hmm. And my friends did. And I was like, I would be looking at them. We're all sitting around the campfire, you know, or like the spot we're eating dinner. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm sitting on the ground and they're all sitting on their pads.
Yeah. The long trail hikers always, you know, make fun of me when I tell them that, you know, I have to have a chair out there. I just, you know, after so many days of sitting on a bear can or sitting on a log, it just, man, I have to sit with, you know, leaning against something. And so
that really
comes in handy.
About 10 minutes on the bear can, then you're like, all right, I need to get up and stretch. Like, this is not really working anymore.
Yes. So what did your pack weigh?
With food and water, a full day of food, I mean, 35, 36 pounds. So it wasn't too heavy.
Okay. Without food and water, what was your base weight?
I want to say probably 15 maybe. I wasn't super good about weighing all that stuff. I did like my base weight with mostly everything. And then at the end, I always put in a couple more stuff. Yeah.
Got it. How many days of food were you carrying?
The most we ever did was like 6.
Okay.
Yeah. I plan to do longer from Muir Trail Ranch to Independence, like Onion Valley. I plan to do longer, but I didn't pack enough food. And the friends I met, we ended up coming into town a day early, which was good because I ran out of food. And I was like, I need to go into town a day early. Not that I want to. I need to because I'm out of food.
Okay. And what were the names of your friends?
Are
the PCT hikers?
Oh, no. These are some other buddies that I met hiking the JMT. Yeah.
Okay. Did they have trail names?
They did. They're interesting. One is Lag. He was always lagging behind everybody else, which fits him immensely. One was Tortoise, methodical guy, very wise for his young age. And then the other one was Lightning Macbeth, because he was extremely fast and he liked to read a lot. So they called him Lightning Macbeth.
Lightning Macbeth. Wow, that's quite a trail name. That's a lot of syllables.
It was always really interesting when he introduced himself to people. People would be like, oh, okay, interesting. All right. It was a lot.
Now, are tortoises wise? Are they usually wise? Are they considered wise creatures?
Aren't they? They're like 100 years old, like the big ones. I would hope they're wise.
Okay. I guess if wisdom comes from life experiences and tortoises live to be 100 years. Okay, I'll buy that argument.
slow, methodical, you know, mm-hmm. they don't rush into anything.
All right. And speaking of arguments,
it's the hiking poll.
I want to hear your arguments on this 7-question survey we call the hiking poll. It's not P-O-L-E like the kind you use on the trail, but it's a P-O-L-L, like a survey. So 7 questions, and it's going to help me determine your level of sanity.
Okay.
All right. So it's a scale from 0 to 100, 0 being completely bonkers, 100 being completely sane.
Oh.
All right. And this, you know, I said before the interview started that, you know, I wouldn't be asking you any questions you didn't know the answer to or that you hadn't seen. And that was kind of a half truth because you haven't seen these questions. You don't know what questions I'm going to ask you.
Oh, good. I like that. Okay. More on the moment, you know?
Yeah. These are some of the big issues facing the world right now.
Oh, man. No pressure.
And so I'm going to ask you these 7 questions, and that's going to help me evaluate whether you're completely crazy or completely sane or somewhere in the middle. Now, if I had asked your friends or family, hey, give Easy Rider a score from 1 to 100 in terms of sanity, what do you think they'd say?
I think it would depend on what, I guess, who you're talking to about me. You asked like my grandparents and kind of my family that I don't see all the time. They're like, oh, she's really normal. You ask like my family that I'm really close with or my close friends, they'd be like, I don't know, she's a little nuts. So I don't know. I would think maybe somewhere in the middle. I think I'm a little more to the crazy side. I do crazy stuff from time to time.
Okay. Well, let's get down to it. You would think from the name hiking pole, these would be questions about hiking. These are not questions about hiking. These are the big questions that society is wrestling with these days. So first question, everyday life, not hiking, everyday life, do you sleep with your socks on?
Oof, no. Unless I'm really cold. But that's not all that often.
Explain that first word you use there. Oof.
Oof.
Why oof?
It's not right. I want to feel my feet up against each other, like, you know, like feet on some fresh sheets. Nothing better.
Oh, that might be the title of this episode. I'm always looking for the title of the episode in the interview. Feet on some fresh sheets.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Second question. Does pineapple belong on pizza?
You know, I'm going to go with yes, because I think almost any vegetable can go on pizza. And I know pineapple is not a vegetable, but like if you can put other things on pizza, you can put pineapple on pizza.
I'm glad you clarified that because I was going to point that out. That pineapple is not a vegetable.
No, but I like to put like if I'm going to make a homemade pizza, I'm going to put like some zucchini on there, like some broccoli. Like that's what I would do. And that's kind of weird. So who am I to judge pineapple?
Mm-hmm. And do you make a lot of homemade pizza?
I have in the past. Yeah. Yeah. We used to do that a lot growing up. We would buy the dough, roll it out ourselves, make it. So yeah.
And did you have a pizza oven or did you use a conventional oven?
No, just a conventional oven. I wish we had a pizza oven.
We recently purchased a pizza oven and have used it a few times. It's awesome. It's really good. Really, you have to learn how to use it because it's like 800 degrees inside there. You can't just let it sit in there for, you know,
it
will burn. So yeah, there's an art to it.
Very cool.
Yep. All right. Question number 3. You're doing fine so far.
All right. Good.
No major deductions as of right now. And really only you get a deduction when I don't agree with you. It's totally subjective on my part. There's no rhyme or reason to this. All right. Question number 3. Do you roll your toilet paper over or under?
Okay, if I have to think about it, over. But like it doesn't bother me if it's under. I don't really care. Like sometimes I'll just put it on the thing and I don't even think about it. And I just go with it. So if I put some thought into it, over. But, you know, I'll still use the toilet paper if it's under.
That's very concerning.
Easier. Yeah. Is it?
Very concerning.
I don't stress too much about my toilet paper, you know? I'm not too worried about it.
Mm-hmm. All right, hiking corollary. Hiking corollary question. Do you pack it out?
Yes.
The teepee?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so do I. It's so really...
Especially in the past couple of years with so many more people hiking.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of toilet paper. As you know, I saw a decent amount in Sierras too. It was definitely like not great.
Yeah, I don't enjoy packing it out, but I pack it out.
Well, yeah, and it's something like you have to do. Ago, could bury it, but just not really anymore.
No. Mm-mm. So what is your strategy for packing it out? I take a gallon Ziploc bag and I cover it in duct tape.
Smart.
Now the duct tape probably adds a couple ounces to my base weight, but I'm willing to carry that load.
Yeah, at that point, like, it doesn't matter, you know. I feel like those little tiny little bits are just kind of silly, in my opinion. I mean, I guess if you're going for time, you know, you're trying to make, you know, you're on a mission to do the PCT in a certain amount of days or the JMT mm-hmm. or whatever, I understand, but I just don't care about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Did you put your used TP in a clear plastic bag?
Yeah, I did.
Ooh,
I have a big one and then a clear one.
You know what? I can think of some trail names for you.
Something that's, gross, that's probably.
All you right.
know, story kind of, I guess we were coming down Whitney and my buddies were waiting for me and I'm coming down and we're finishing the hike and we're coming down around the same time this girl and she's got like a big wag bag, like big gray one. And my friend, I don't know what he was thinking, but he goes, "Hey, do you mind if I ask you what's in that?" And she looks at him and she goes, "It's a poop bag." And he goes, "Oh." And he like just genuinely was like curious of what was in the bag because it was covered. He couldn't see it. And I was like, "Dude, we've been out here for 23 days. And on the last day, you're going to ask the girl what's in her poop bag? Like, really?" Like, and he was like, "I just really wanted to know." And I was like, "Yeah, I guess that's fair."
Easy Rider would have been a great story if she would have just handed him the bag and said, "Here, look."
Yeah.
Check it out.
Looked at him like he was stupid. She was just like, "It's a poop bag." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh, yep, that makes sense." But he was just genuinely so curious.
Right. Now, Easy Rider, have you used a wag bag?
You know, I did not have to use it. And we hauled ass down Whitney to all get to those toilets.
That's right.
We were all booking it. We were like, we don't really want to be done with the trail. But, you know, we need to be done with the trail because we got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Each time I've been in the Mount Whitney area, you know, I've had a wag bag with me, but mm-hmm. I've always resisted the urge to use it. Either I know when it's coming, so I need to go before I get to that point where you pick up the wag bags and you're not allowed to dig holes, or you hold it to the very end. So it's always a dangerous game.
It is. It's delicate. You know, you're like, all right, am I going to have the coffee this morning, or maybe am I going to skip it today? Maybe today's not the day for coffee.
Okay. Question number 4. There are these little animated short videos, and they are the name for them is spelled GIF. How do you pronounce that?
GIF, because it's a G, so GIF.
GIF. Okay, not GIF.
No, because that makes me think of peanut butter, which I love. Okay. But no, GIF.
Okay, and do you correct people when they say it incorrectly?
No,
just let it go.
No, I don't really correct people ever. I mean, unless they're like gonna hurt themselves, I just am like, oh my god, let be, you know, good on you.
All right, I haven't heard any noise that would clue me in on this next question, but question number 5, cats or dogs?
Oof, this is such a hard question.
There's that oof.
Because I don't want to answer the question because I'm like, oh, okay. Truthfully, cats. Because I think I'm more like a cat, but I equally love dogs. But I'm going to have to go with cats.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I cats remind me of myself more in that way, where dogs are just like, they want attention all the time. And they're like, always so happy to be with you. And they're just like... And they're just always like, oh my god, your attention. The cats are like, you know, not right now, but like maybe later. And if they want it, they're in a good mood, fantastic, they're your best friend. But as soon as they're done, they're like, all right, I gotta move on. And I'm kind of like that.
So are you very you know, dogs, they have this you know, ever-present affection. I mean, they're just happy to see you. Cats, I kind of get the feeling like they can care less, very independent. Does that describe you?
Not that I couldn't care less. I do. I care a lot. I care very deeply. But I'm not going to go out of my way to be bothered with what someone else is doing, usually, if it doesn't really have anything to do with me. I'm kind of like, well, you know, you do what you want. I'm going to do what I want. but I'm going to support you from way over here. You know, like, I'm definitely like, I support everybody, but I'm like, I'm just going to mind my own business and you do your thing. Kind of how I am.
All right. All right. Good explanation. Now, now, as we are talking here, we hear a little bit of background noise with you over there.
Yeah.
You are sitting, it looks like you're sitting outside.
I am.
You are. And where are you? What part of the country?
I'm in Long Beach, California right now. So kind of, you know, Southern California, right on the coast.
Okay. And why are you sitting outside?
I am visiting my grandparents right now, my family. I'm about to go through like a big... Hi.
Hi there, right?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm about to go through like a big change right now. So I dropped in to see some family, kind of explain about my trip, my next steps in life. So, you know, don't really like having all those big conversations over the phone. So I figured time to drop in and say hello.
Okay. Well, I mean, that is a perfect example right there. As I'm asking you the question about
she's
talking to somebody who just walked up.
No.
The delivery person or what was it? Amazon?
I'm not sure. A friend.
Okay.
Yeah, a friend.
All right. Now, I know you said you don't like having those conversations over the phone, but here we are. I would be remiss if I didn't ask the big question. We're off the hiking pole now. We're a little sidetracked, and that's okay. We'll get back to the hiking pole. But you said you've got big changes coming up. What's going on? And feel free to tell me. It's none of my business, but go ahead.
Oh my gosh. I'm happy to share.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah, I guess it's a long story in a way. I work in healthcare right now. I've been a CNA for 6 years. And you know, I've, been like, I'm going to be a nurse, and I got into nursing school this year at my local community college, to be an LVN. And I've had like a secret part of me that's for the past couple years been like, do I really want to go to nursing school? I kind of want to go and travel and hike the PCT and, you know, experience that adventure side. And I got done with this trail and I've had a huge shift of, I'm not going to nursing school and I'm actually going to jump on the PCT in 2 weeks and hike Washington and then move out of state.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is huge. So you're going to hike Washington. Does that mean you're going to section hike?
Yeah. PCT? I'm going to jump on northbound and try to just hike as far as I can into the, you know, the 500 miles that is Washington from the border of Oregon up to the border in Canada and see how far I can get in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. And then what are your plans for the PCT after that? Would you then try and take another chunk of it next summer?
I'm not sure yet. I'm planning on moving to Colorado for a wilderness therapy job. And it's about a year commitment with them, but there is the option and the availability after that year to kind of take a substantial amount of time off, like 5 months if I wanted to. So it's a high possibility. Yeah.
Okay. We are departing from the outline here. This is all good stuff. Tell me about wilderness therapy in Colorado.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Yeah. So like I said, I've been working in healthcare for 6 years. I mean, that's been like a huge piece of who I am is human connection and relationship. And I've kind of gotten off the trail and I was like, okay, how can I bring that human connection piece and living outside and backpacking and being outside into a job? Cause that truly, I feel like, is what makes me happiest. So the job I'm moving there for, hopefully, will be working with youth with mental health, addiction, depression, anxiety, different kinds of mental health things, and teach them to backpack, camp, be outside, journal, yoga, mindfulness techniques, and kind of like how nature can be really healing, especially with, you know, different mental things going on. So I'm going to be leading those kind of groups and those expeditions.
Fantastic. And I think that is a great combination, because I think we all know from our experiences out there that nature is kind of transformational. It can take you from your, you know, your current point of view and really put some perspective into things.
Oh my gosh. You know, we're people of simplicity and nature and community and living that kind of lifestyle. It's absolutely life-changing. I mean, it has been for me, and I'm excited to share with, you know, youth and other people of how beautiful it can truly be and how life can be really worth living. You know, it really can.
Yeah. I actually had a coworker in my office this morning who asked me, what is it about hiking that you like? What is it? What draws you? And I said, you know, there's a few things. One is, I think, you know, realizing the power of incremental progress, that at the end of the day, I turn around and I look back where I came from. And I say, you know, when I started the day, you know, past that mountain over there, I can't even see where I started. And here I am. That's one part of it. Another part was, you know, you're seeing places out there that not everybody sees.
Right.
Because you have to put in the work to get out there and see these things.
And right. And I think part, also, oh yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. One more thing. The third part I said was that there is a simplicity and purpose. You know, you get up in the morning, you break camp, and your goal is the next campsite, and you walk. You walk until you get to the next campsite. You get there, you set up camp, you eat your food, you go to sleep, and you get up and you do it all over again. There's a single-mindedness about it. There's a simplicity about it, and everything else just kind of falls by the wayside, which is rejuvenating.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with everything you just said. It's truly the way we're supposed to live. Like, I mean, it touches something like almost animalistic inside of us, something simple inside of us that we're like, this is living. This is truly like, you know, meeting my daily needs and nothing beyond that. And that's all I need. And it's also a thing of, you know, you're walking and you're going through these places that you're like, I'm never going to walk here again. Like, I mean, I'm going to see similar things, but I'm not going to be at this exact spot seeing these exact things again. I mean, maybe in the future, maybe, but you know, everything is so fleeting. And you kind of hold on to that, you know?
Yeah. And that spot, that's even if you do it again, that spot's going to be a little bit different and you are going to be different. And so that particular moment in time, that's a once in a lifetime thing.
Truly. It really is.
Okay. All right. Hey, let's get back to the hiking pole. I think we have a couple questions left. Yeah. All right. Question six. Do you use the Oxford comma?
What is the Oxford comma?
Okay, that's fine. That's completely fine that you don't know that. If you are writing and you're listing out a simple series, a series of three items or more, such as the flag is red, white, and blue.
Okay.
How many commas in that sentence? The flag is red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue. Two. I would use two.
So you say red, comma, white, comma, and blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the Oxford comma. That second comma is the Oxford comma.
Yeah, I've never heard of that before. I mean, yeah, I would use two, but I didn't know it was called that.
Oh, it's cool. Huge thing. A lot of people have taken to not using the Oxford comma. They say that and is enough of a separator between the second and the third items. And, you know, community has really started to deteriorate.
Slide.
It's just not the same.
Yeah. People are pissed over the Oxford comma.
Yes. There's whole Reddit groups devoted to this. So
there's Reddit groups for everything. So that does not surprise me. You can find anything you kind of need to know on YouTube or on Reddit. They got you covered.
Mm-hmm. You can go right down that rabbit hole in each one of those.
Oh, man, you really can.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question seven. Last question in the survey. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
Oof.
I'm going to put your tacos in a bag.
Okay, thanks.
Put them in the fridge.
Okay. Sorry.
What was that about tacos?
I put my tacos in the fridge.
Okay. Tacos are in the fridge.
I don't know.
Right. Tacos and hot dogs, very similar in that they have a hinge, right?
They are. They're like the same, just different types of food, I guess.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to go with both tacos and hot dogs are both not sandwiches.
Okay.
Because I think they're wraps. They fold over whatever is in their inside. So they're wrapping their inside. But sandwiches, they're not connected at the end.
Okay.
You would put two pieces of bread together.
All right. So it's the hinge. It's the hinged bread that is the difference maker for you. Now, is a wrap, or so a wrap is not a sandwich in your opinion?
I guess a wrap is like, gosh, I guess not. No, it's not. It's a wrap.
So you sit down at a restaurant, they give you the menu, and is there a section specifically called wraps, or do the wraps appear under the sandwich section?
If this is a good sandwich shop or place, you know, they're going to have wraps in their own area. Okay. Burritos, I guess, could fall under that too, you know, burritos and wraps. Because a wrap could be a burrito too, you know, but they're just like a little bit different. But
well,
like,
we are really going far afield on this one.
I really love food, if you couldn't tell.
Mm-hmm.
I put a lot of thought into this one.
Now, how about a hoagie?
Oh, gosh.
Because it seems to me that a hoagie has hinged bread as well.
It does. This is where it gets complicated and where it gets serious, you know?
There's a lot of nuance to this.
There is. And it's like, Yeah, they're really. I'm gonna stick to my guns and go hoagie's more of a wrap. I'm gonna keep going with it.
Oh wow, you are doubling down on this.
Doubling down.
You are not giving an inch.
No, I'm not. This might put me over the edge on the crazy scale.
All right, hang on a sec. Let me make some notation here.
All right.
All right, got to do some quick addition here. I got to carry the two. We're going to divide by root 5. Going to multiply by pi. And we're going to adjust for the pulse rate while going over Forrester Pass in a thunderstorm.
Oh.
Since you were on the JMT. So I come up with a questionable score of 65.
Oh, 65. Okay.
65.
Why is it questionable?
You said you're a little bit on the crazy side, you thought. And usually, you know, a lot of people I talk to are like in the 70s, maybe low 80s. This is a dip down into the 60s.
Wow. This is surprising.
Badge of honor for you.
I think I am a little bit on the crazy side. I really think I am.
Okay. All right. So we heard a little bit about your profession and how you were making money. You worked in health field for 6 years, and now there's a departure. You're going to be heading to Colorado for wilderness therapy.
That's the plan.
Let's back up a little bit and let's hear from you about your background growing up. Did you play any sports and hobbies while in high school, and how did you get involved in the thru hiking cult?
Yeah. I've grown up in San Luis Obispo, California. So it's kind of between like Santa Cruz and Santa Barbara, and then like LA and San Francisco for a clear reference.
And it's an outdoorsy place. There's a lot of outdoor activities there. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of climbing, mountain biking, surfing. Yeah. Outdoorsy for sure. Small town though. Beautiful town. My parents are big hippies, you know, with the name like Luna kind of comes with the territory, I guess. My dad was a trail worker for like the first half of my life, and my parents met in the California Conservation Corps building trails. And they knew each other for about a week, and then my dad got a job working for Yellowstone and my mom followed him. So trails and backpacking and camping has been kind of a part of my life for a long time. You know, went a little bit as a kid, early high school, later middle school, backpacking trips, and I kind of fell off there for a little while in high school. And then probably about 3 years ago, when I was around like 22, I started like doing it again, just kind of picking it back up and been like, oh, going to Big Sur in California, and then going to Kings Canyon, doing like CESPI in Ojai, and just little trips here and there. And, you know, first it was kind of like, oh, just something to do, something interesting. And then I kind of be like, all right, going on longer trips. And then I start going by myself, and people will be like, you're backpacking by yourself? And I'm like, yeah, like, you know, I'm my best company. And lots of my friends didn't want to go, and like people weren't interested. And I was like, well, I'm just going to go by myself. And I started just going by myself, and it was awesome. I actually really enjoyed it. And it was almost my preferred way to hike and camp and backpack for a while, just because it was easy. You know, I didn't need to stop and ask anybody, do you want to stop here? Or where do you want to go? I just thought of it and I did it. And I loved that. And then I really started learning about through hiking when I read Wild, you know, like every woman almost, it seems to be that's the case. But I read that book and I got done and I cried when I read, and I wanted to read it all over again for the first time. And I was like, this is amazing. Like, and then I started really diving into what is the PCT. And, I kind of fell in love with the idea of it for a while. For a good year, I was just like, I just was obsessed. I was like, this is amazing. So this was last summer that that kind of time period was really happening. And I was kind of like, okay, how can I do a distance through hike and still be employed full time at my job? I'll do the John Muir Trail. So I decided last summer of 2021, I'm doing it next year. And I just manifested it and made it happen and went by myself. And it was, you know, I had big goals and like ideas of what it was going to be. And it was kind of everything I wanted and beyond, truly.
And so I've got some follow-up questions for you.
Sure.
All right. So what you touched on a little bit, but I want a little bit more on what is the attraction of hiking solo? Why, why solo? What are the advantages?
I don't know. I did a backpacking trip with a friend for 5 days, and this friend was like, we are good friends and we got along really well, but it was hard. I mean, and I think our mistake was hiking together the whole time, like even during the day, like we would only get, you know, 500 yards apart. We could still see each other and every night together. And we like shared a tent. And I remember being done and being like, oh my God, I don't know if I can talk to you for weeks. Like, I don't know if I can see you anymore. Like I love you still, but I'm very tired. I don't know if I can do this. So that was when I started really hiking by myself. And just the simplicity and the quietness of it and being able to like, if I want to stop here, I can stop here. I don't need to ask anybody's permission. I don't need to check in with anybody. I can just do whatever. And I got a lot of questions. And especially being a woman, you know, a young woman hiking by yourself, people are like, oh, you're going by yourself? And I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, aren't you scared? And I'd be like, scared of what? Like animals? Like, I mean, yeah, they're there. Like people are just as scary, you know, cars are just as scary. I didn't really know what to say. And that kind of elusiveness of it, of the being the solo kind of was really interesting to me.
Okay. Yeah. There is no hiding from each other out on the trail.
No.
You're out there 24/7 with each other. And so if there's any bit of friction, it just kind of is amplified, I think.
Yeah, it was an interesting experience. And looking back, there was things I could have done differently to make the experience a little more enjoyable. And it wasn't like nobody's fault. It was just like, it's a lot of time to spend with somebody day in, day out. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah. Luna, have you read Alone in Wonderland?
No.
By Christine Reed?
Mm-mm.
So she talks about a lot of the issues you just went through. And so She did the Wonderland Trail, which goes around Mount Rainier in Washington, and did it solo and faced a lot of those same questions of, you know, aren't you afraid? What does it mean to be hiking solo as a woman? And really, really good book. Had her on the podcast. Great interview. Great episode.
Ooh, I'll check it out for sure.
I think you'd enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds all like right. Something I'd like. I'll check it out.
And so I introduced you at the beginning of the episode as someone who is new to hiking, but I think I want to take that back because this sounds like it's in your blood. I mean, if you had hippie parents who met in the conservation corps and were working on trails, I mean, you were born for this.
I'm new to through hiking, I guess, okay, as a thing, but I wouldn't say I'm new to hiking. No. Okay. Yeah, it is in my blood. And I think this experience really has made me acknowledge that. Like, I've always known that. It's just made me be like active about, you know, exploring that part of myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking of your hippie parents, because of their background, what was their reaction to these major life decisions that you've made? Were they understanding and accepting, or was there a little pushback, or, you know, were they concerned?
I'm just going to speak for my mom, if that's okay. Sure. She's been nothing but supportive. Absolutely wonderful. You know, I got back and I think she told me when she picked me up, she didn't tell me this before, but when she picked me up, she said, I knew dropping you off, because she dropped me off and picked me up because, you know, we're really close. And she lives in California. So she knew that things were going to be different. And she didn't know how, and she didn't know what was going to be different, but she knew something like this was going to happen. And at first it was kind of funny because like the first couple days being back, I was like going back and forth of what am I going to do? Like, what's next? Like, what do I want to do? And I came to her and I said, can we pretend for a week that I'm going to quit my job and go hiking and see how that feels? And she was like, yeah, we can pretend. Let's do it. And I was like, all right, cool. That lasted about 2 days. And about 2 days in, I'm like, yeah, so I'm going to quit my job. That's happening now. She goes, we're not pretending. And I said, no, this feels really good. And I'm going to continue on with this. So she's really proud of me, actually. Yeah, she's stoked.
She obviously noticed something had changed in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I've expressed for a while that I'm ready to travel and ready to do some different things than what I've been doing. I just haven't been fully honest with myself because I've been really focused on career and providing a financial future for myself. And those things are still important to me, but I have the rest of my life to do that. And it's kind of taken a backseat to what's become more important to me now, which is finding adventure. And that's what makes me feel like myself, you know. I've been searching for purpose in my career for a long time and I love my job. And I just recently, you know, when I got into nursing school in January, I was like searching for this feeling of purpose and I thought that would be it. And like, I was like, oh, this is the moment I've been waiting for. And I felt happy, but I didn't feel the feeling of purpose that I wanted. I got done with hiking and I was like, this is the feeling that I've been wanting. This is the feeling of being alive and being in my authentic self. And this is it. Like, I'm gonna follow that feeling. You know, I don't care about financial future. If I'm giving up something that I'm extremely passionate about, I don't care.
And I can hear the passion as you speak. Yeah. So you are lit up right now.
Yeah. I feel that way. I feel like excited talking about it, and it's exciting to feel excited. You know, so what we're searching for in life is these moments of like, aha, this is it. You know, they don't come around all that often.
That's right. Now, before we go to break, just real quick, I heard you mention the Sespe Wilderness and Ojai.
Yeah.
And did you do the Devil's Punch Bowl hike?
No, I did the Sespe like hot springs and Willits hot springs. Okay. I've never heard of the Devil's Punch Bowl. That sounds cool though.
Yeah, yes, check it out. So it's a nice little hike. All right. Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna hear about places like Kings Canyon, Dinky Lakes, Big Sur, the Trans Catalina Trail, which you and I, you know, we can ask some good stories on that because I just finished
that's
that.
A good one.
And then we'll get to the JMT. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young.
Welcome back. We are talking to Luna Bailey, also known as Easy Rider. And we've heard about her background and her recent big decisions in her life. And now we're going to get to some of her recent and maybe not so recent hikes and hear about some of her experiences out there. So you mentioned Kings Canyon earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What kinds of hikes did you do? Have you done in Kings Canyon?
So I've done like the Jenny Lakes and Weaver Lake. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done those loops a couple of times. That was kind of my introduction into more mountainous backpacking, because I've done a lot in Big Sur, which is mountains, but, you know, right off the coast, very like mellow creeks, lakes. So that was kind of some of my first more big experience as an adult into like more alpine type backpacking.
Right. Now, some alternate hiking pole questions include, is life better or above, is life better above or below the tree line?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Which do you prefer?
I want to say the easy answer would be below, because I feel like you have a little bit more comfortability below. You know, you're lower elevation in the trees, but, you know, you can't beat those views of being above the tree line. So above the tree line.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
And, you know, Buddy, who I've done a lot of hiking with and who has been on the podcast a couple times, he spends a lot of time every summer. His family goes to Dinky Lakes. I'm not sure that a lot of people are familiar with Dinky Lakes.
Yeah, I've only been that one time with my dad. I remember we just drove way out there and I was probably 14 maybe. And he was like, oh, it'll be fun, just like a loop. We did like 15 miles in a day. I remember not enjoying it at all. I was like, what are we doing out here? This is not fun, you know? And he made us carry a lot of stuff. And at 14, someone who didn't really want to go. I mean, like, I liked camping at that time, but I didn't want to hike 15 miles with, like, you know, 30 pounds on my back. I was not into it.
That's funny, because I've talked to a lot of people who talk about their first backpacking experience as being, you know, kind of a miserable experience, whether it's because they didn't have the right equipment or they're wearing the wrong shoes or they just didn't have a good time. And yet here we are.
I know.
It's making kind of big funny life decisions and committing wholeheartedly to this kind of lifestyle. What is it that even though you had that negative experience or you think poorly of it, you know, when you remember back when you were 14, yet here you are coming right back to it.
Well, you touched on it earlier. It's that like little increments of accomplishments. It's like looking back and being like, holy shit, I just did that. Like I just hiked however many miles. Like the average person does not do that. Like it's that self of like, that sense of like self-accomplishment. That's so it's like almost tangible. It almost is. It's like, I just did that. And I don't know. It's hard and challenging. It's, yeah, the challenge really.
And Dinky Lakes, for those folks who might not be familiar, they are in the, the foothills of the Sierras on the western side, maybe just below Shaver Lake.
Yeah, I think that's right. I haven't been back to that area since, so I'm like not 100% sure, but that sounds right. It's somewhere around there.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about the Trans Catalina Trail. When did you do that?
I did that one last summer. So that was the hike that I did with the friend for multiple days. And we got kind of sick of each other at the end.
Okay. Let's talk about Trans Catalina. So did you leave out of Long Beach or San Pedro?
San Pedro.
Okay. San Pedro to Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
And how many, Catalina is an interesting place because you have to book each individual campsite. It's not like going in the Sierras and saying, you know, I'm going to enter at this point, I'm going to exit at this point at this date, and you kind of are left up to your own. You have to give a kind of a tentative itinerary, but that they know it's subject to change, and you kind of just camp where you camp. But on Catalina, you have to book each individual campsite.
Yeah, that was really interesting. Looking back on it, I feel like I wouldn't have wanted to spend as much money as I did on that trip in a way. But at that time, I really wanted to do it. And it was a really fun experience. It was. Yeah, booking the individual campsite is interesting. I mean, it makes sense because they have so many people that want to do it. And, you know, it's a small island, but doesn't really leave much room for spontaneity, which is kind of a bummer. But it's what it is. They got to make money, you know.
Okay. And so what were your campsites?
So we did Avalon to Blackjack. And then we did Blackjack to Little Harbor, and then Little Harbor to Two Harbors to Parsons.
Okay, so you did camp in Two Harbors.
Mm-hmm, we did.
The two times that I've gone all the way to Parsons, we have gone from Little Harbor to Parsons. We stopped in Two Harbors for lunch.
Did you go up like the Silver Peak or whatever it is, the really tall peak?
So the first time we did the ocean route, you know, the Flat Fire Road out there, which can be tedious because you're going in and out of the different harbors. But this last time we did do the overland route.
Yeah, it's steep. I mean, it's a good climb. I mean, looking back now, what I've done, it's like nothing. But at that time, I remember just going, this is never going to end. Like, this is hard. Yeah. That hike was hard. It was hot. We did it in July. It was hot. Obviously there's tons of things I would change, but it was hot. it was a rough hike. It was a lot of fun. It was beautiful. Swimming in the oceans was wonderful, but it was a hard one for me for sure.
Which was the better campsite for you? Little Harbor or Parsons?
Parsons was more beautiful in like the morning and the evening, but you know, we got to Parsons at like 2 o'clock and there was no shade and we were hot. And so that was a little bit rough for the first couple hours, but once like it got cooler, Parsons was absolutely amazing. And having a fire on that beach right there was so cool.
Yeah. And I love Little Harbor. I mean, I think if you'd asked me after my from the hike from 2 years ago, I probably would have said Parsons, but this past, like 3 weeks ago, Little Harbor was just gorgeous. We got in there. We had the campsite closest to the beach. It was just amazing.
Yeah, I like Little Harbor a lot. We met a funny family there who were, you know, we were just like sitting out. It's probably like 5 p.m. We're just, you know, hanging out, whatever. And this family keeps looking at us and they're looking at us and they're looking at us. And like, they've got so much stuff, you know, they've got a tent you could stand in. They have everything. And so we're walking by to go to the ocean and they're like, did you girls carry all that on your back? And we were like, yeah, you know, we're backpacking on the island. They're like, whoa. We were like, yeah. And they're like, can we get you guys anything? And we were like, we're good right now. He's like, a beer. I was like, I'll take a beer. And then my friend was like, no, she doesn't drink. And then he's like, a beer. And she's like, no. He's like, wine. And she's like, no. He's like, vodka. She's like, no. He's like, a soda. And she's like, no. He's like, a sparkling water. And she's like, okay, I'll take the sparkling water. Like, they had everything. And they were just like, couldn't believe we were hiking around. They could not believe it.
Yeah, Little Harbor is accessible by car. And so there are some folks there that, you know, get dropped off there with all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could. They were mind blown.
Now, how brutal was the hike into Blackjack? The last section for me going into Blackjack is always just absolutely miserable.
Yeah, when you come up and then there's the last little like thing you can sit under, the little shelter, and then you're going down before the campsite, that it was hard for sure. Hot. And just, you know, you're kind of like, oh my God, am I ever going to get there?
Right, right. Any encounters with bison?
Yeah, we did have to walk around a couple of times, but like there was only a small handful. And we, you know, we had enough space to walk 300, 400 feet around them. So it was no big deal. It was cool. It was really cool to see them. Yeah.
Okay. Now, was that, what was your favorite part of the hike?
Swimming in the ocean. It was really nice to like, just like jump in the ocean. Like, I mean, I guess you can do that with lakes too, but I love the ocean. And camping on the beach. And that was like my first multi-day long hike for me. Like that was my first introduction to like living kind of out of your backpack in a way. And I remember getting done and being like, if I had a shower and some food and like resupply my food, I could have kept going. I remember thinking that, being like, I could have kept going. My friend was like, I'm so glad to be done. I'm like, I'm not, like, I don't really want to hike around the island again, but let's go hike somewhere else, you know? And I remember thinking that, and I think that feeling probably stuck with me that this whole next year, you know?
You know why else the Catalina, the Trans-Catalina Trail is nice? Because you do some good eating on that trail.
Mm-hmm, you do.
Yeah,
that was fun.
The airport.
Mm-hmm.
After Blackjack, you have a 2-mile hike to the airport, and you stop in the little restaurant there at the airport, and then you can have breakfast burrito, burgers. In fact, I had a burger, and then I packed out a burrito. I had a burrito at Little Harbor.
That must have been awesome. That was a good idea.
It was. And then as you're going through Two Harbors, I mean, they've got restaurants there as well.
Yeah, having fresh food like that is really nice.
All right. Hey, let's get to what we've all been waiting for, the JMT.
Mm.
So you said southbound hike. You started in Happy Isles?
I started Tuolumne Meadows.
Tuolumne. Okay. Started in Tuolumne. And what date was that?
That was on the 16th, June 16th.
June 16th of this year?
Yep.
Okay. And did you take all 5 weeks?
No, so I had a week before just to kind of prepare, and then I hiked for 3, and then I had a week off after the trail to kind of decompress.
Got it. So you did, I think you said 23 days?
Yeah, I did 23 days, and I took a lot of zeros, to be honest. I did 3 zeros and like 1 Nero, or I did something like that. So I had a decent amount of rest. So I had about 20 to 19 actual hiking days.
Okay, and when did you finish?
I finished on July 7th of this year, obviously.
July 7th. I was on the High Sierra Trail end of June, beginning of July.
Oh, man, we just crossed.
We might have been close to crossing each other at some
point.
Yeah. May have just missed each other. All right. Now, was this your first solo through hike?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And did it live up to your expectations?
Oh my God, surpassed them completely. And, you know, I think I tried not to set expectations because I didn't want to be disappointed. I think I had expectations for like personal growth. I had hopes for personal growth. That's what I wanted. I wanted to just go and experience and just have a really good time and grow and change. And I got all of that.
Do you have any aha moments on the trail?
Not like on the trail, I would say, but I definitely had aha moments after the trail. And I think coming into town and like just meeting people, and I spent a couple days in Bishop, like when we resupplied at Independence. And I remember being in Bishop, and we hung out a day longer than we planned. And I just remember being in Bishop and just being like, this is just this feeling of coming to town and being so happy to see people and have service and food and electricity and like just being so grateful. I remember being like, I want to feel this like simple and happy around, to be around society all the time. Like, this is how it should be. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful to be here. And then you know, a couple days go by and I'm like, I'm so stoked to go hiking. Like, I think that was probably my start of my aha moment for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you satisfied with the amount of time that you took and the fact that you took some zeros and neros?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't change any of that. I met great people. I didn't rush, you know. That was kind of like when I told the couple who gave me my trail name, I said, I'm not here to bang out 15, 18 miles a day right away. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I physically don't want to do it. And I'm in no rush. If I want to sit down and have an hour lunch, then I want to sit down and have an hour lunch. I don't want to be like, oh my God, I have to get going. Obviously, you know, if you're trying to make different when you've been hiking for 4 months and you're on the PCT, but I'm like, I have 20 something days out here. I want to enjoy every single one of them.
Yeah, I have no criticism for anybody who's out there hiking. You know, it's, you know, it's hike your own hike. Do what you're comfortable with. Do how you want to do it. But I think there's something to be said for taking your time and pacing yourself and being able to look around and soak up, you know, what you're in the middle of out there.
Yeah, like, I mean, we had a couple times where there would be these random lakes that we weren't planning on stopping, but I was like, let's just jump in. And we had the freedom and the time to do that. And like, looking back, those are some of my favorite memories when we just stopped and laughed. And, you know, the guys that I met and hiked with, they wanted to take an hour lunch and just hang out. And it was great. And some people don't want to do that. And I understand, but that's not the type of person I am. I just want to have fun. And I'm out here to have a good time.
Now, how many alpine lake plunges did you participate in?
The count ended up being like over 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Yeah, we made it a goal towards the end to do it every single day, especially the last couple of days. I mean, we were like, every single lake that we are available to swim in, we're doing it, you know?
Okay, and were they obscure lakes, or did you hop into some of the more prominent lakes?
Definitely some of the more prominent ones, yeah. Okay. I mean, we really didn't care. My favorite lake swim was Ray Lakes. That place is just, oh my God, that whole little section right there is just absolutely mind-blowing. We jumped in so many times, like, oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, I've jumped into, let's see, Lower Palisade, Marjorie Lake, and Wanda Lake.
Nice, nice. I think I did all of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, do you have a favorite campsite on the trail? Somewhere you'd recommend others to try?
Yeah, obviously Ray Lakes is a good one.
Where at Ray Lakes did you stay? Was it first, second, third?
We actually did not camp there, but I would recommend camping there. Okay. We kind of planned to. Like, I planned to do it like when I was doing my itinerary like at home, but then it just didn't work out that way with timing. I would go back and camp there. I would honestly even like go back in over Kearsarge Pass and just to go to Ray Lakes. It was probably one of my favorite spots. Trying to think. Yeah, that's probably my number one that I would recommend. I mean, there's just so many, like all the lakes, everything's beautiful. You really can't go wrong and pick a bad campsite. There was definitely some more that are better, but you really can't go wrong.
Okay. Now it sounds like everything went pretty well out there. Did you ever run into any moments where you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing out here? Or any funny stories with people you ran into or circumstances?
Not really. I think I was pretty like open to just like talking to people, and like I felt very comfortable talking to everyone right away, so I didn't really get any like weirdness with people. I didn't have any moments where I'm like, I had some moments where like, this is really hard, like going up Silver Pass that day was like, what am I doing out here, because this is really, really difficult. but nothing like where I was like, I'm extremely unprepared or I'm really nervous for my safety or anything like that. Coming down Mir Pass, I did slip and fall and like cut my leg open. So I had a pretty good gash there for a couple of days. And obviously I still have a scar, and that was a scary moment, but you know, it was just my leg and it wasn't like, you know, I didn't break anything. Nothing really actually that bad happened to me, and I had some first aid supplies. So it ended up being okay.
Okay. Did you make it past Hiker Midnight?
What's that?
Oh my goodness. Are you serious?
No, I don't know what that is.
Hiker Midnight. Hiker Midnight is 9 p.m.
Oh, like staying up or hiking?
Staying up. Staying up.
Oh, yeah. A couple times.
Yeah, a couple times out of the 23.
Mm-hmm. Not when I was by myself, but with the guys I met, we had a couple of times we stayed up pretty late, just, you know, talking and laughing and whatever. I think our average bedtime was around 9:30-ish. Yeah.
Okay. Now, did you exit out through Mount Whitney?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Tell us about the Mount Whitney ascent. Where'd you camp the night before? What was the plan? How'd it go?
Yeah. That was a crazy day. Looking back, that whole day is kind of like, I feel like I almost still haven't processed that whole day truly. We spent the night at Guitar Lake. So we woke up at 2 a.m. to do the summit for sunrise. And we were probably one of the first people on trail. And let me start this thing, but I'm a pretty slow hiker. I'm like just a constant, steady, like solid pace. And my buddies, you know, Lightning Macbeth, we call him Lightning for a reason. He's extremely fast. So we woke up at 2. I started hiking, you know, 2:30, kind of in front of the guys. They all passed me up by 3:30. And yeah, you know, you look back and you look on the trail in the dark and you just see all these little headlamps coming up, you know, winding up the trail. And it's just, you're cold, but you don't want to stop because then you don't want to stop to take a break or get water because then you're cold. And I had like my gloves and then I had like my puffy and then I took my puffy off and then I put like my rain jacket on and I took my gloves off and I like, couldn't like get comfortable in temperature for a while. I struggled for the first, like probably the first like 2 miles. I was like, I'm really uncomfortable. And you know, you're at the end of this 200 mile hiking trip. You think I'd know what I was doing by then as far as comfortability, but I didn't. I was really just like, I just think I felt really vulnerable out there in the dark, like in the dark. I was really uncomfortable. So by, you know, it's only a 4.5 mile from Guitar Lake to the summit. It took me 4 hours. I mean, I was not going fast. I was going really slow. And I just felt weighed down by my pack. And I was, you know, I think hiking in the dark was really intense for me. But then I dropped my bear can off at the junction, and that helped a lot. And so then I got up there just as the sun was coming up, and I made it up there in time. My buddies were all up there, and it was cold, and it was absolutely incredible. Like seeing the sun come up over like that 360 view is absolutely, it's incredible. I had made it just up as the sun was fully rising, but I got to see it kind of on the other side too, come up and see the pink start, and that was really amazing. Yeah, it was really incredible.
Beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Now, we talked about campsites. Do you have a favorite pass? Because there's several mm-hmm. passes on the John Muir Trail.
I think, what's the pass right after Ray Lakes? Glen. I liked that pass a lot, and I liked Forester a lot. Forester was not, everyone said it was like the hardest pass. I felt Forester was one of the easiest passes for me. I also was most, you know, in altitude shape and fed at that time. I've been on the trail for a couple of days, but I liked the switchbacks going up and then coming up the top, and I loved Forester. That was so beautiful, and there was so many purple little flowers everywhere. I don't know what those flowers are called, but they were everywhere, and I was like, wow, we're at 13,000 feet and there's just these flowers everywhere. It was really cool up there.
Yeah, that particular flower I think is it only grows at high altitude in the Sierras.
Yeah, I think you're right. I didn't see it anywhere else. And we just got up there and I was like, oh my God, there's hundreds. Like, where these all come from?
Yeah. Now, what was the weather like when you were going over Forester? Nice and sunny?
Beautiful.
Really?
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah. Last year it was sunny for me when I went over Forester, but the 2 times prior to that, it was like thunderstorms.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have any of that. I didn't have any thunderstorms going over any passes at all. And it's funny because I hiked a decent amount of them at thunderstorm time, you know. 3 to 5 p.m. I hiked a solid few at that time, which was, you know, looking back, maybe not, but all the skies were clear. So we just said, go for it, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we've already covered this point again, but I want to give you one more chance at it. And that is, what was the big takeaway? What was the big realization for you, maybe about yourself, after the JMT?
That I want to live a simpler, more connected to nature life. That all these things that I thought were giving me purpose kind of weren't. That, you know, I've been doing this career and all this stuff kind of for the potential future of what it would give me in life and the financial stability and all those things. And I've just realized those things are not, they're important, but they are not what makes me truly happiest. And I want to live a life that's happy every day. And just that, like, being happy right now will lead to a future, and not pursuing a career that will potentially give me a good future. Because if you're not happy now, what does the future even mean, you know?
Okay. Here's where I ordinarily ask, what's next for this rider? But I think I know, we've heard what's next. You're going to do Washington.
I know, we jumped to that a little early, huh?
Yeah, we did. That's all right. That's all right. And then you're going to Colorado and doing wilderness therapy.
That's the plan. Yeah, okay. That's the plan.
All right. You have to check in with the podcast. Let us know how you're doing up in Washington.
Yeah, I will. Absolutely.
Okay.
The pro tip insight of the week.
All right, Luna, it's that time where you have to drop some trail wisdom, something that's going to help our listeners have a better experience next time they're out there doing some outdoor adventure. What do you have for us?
Okay. This one is going to be, this is like pretty obvious, but I'm going to do this to like JMT hikers, newer hikers, backpackers, and specifically because I'm kind of a newer backpacker. So this is to someone who is maybe starting backpacking or is going on a first through hike or something like that. Continue to bring all the food that you sent yourself. Do not send any, do not get rid of all of it because you are not eating it in the first few days. Like the first week, I was not hungry. I did not eat half the food I packed. And then when I got to, you know, Muir Trail Ranch and did my second resupply, I dumped half my food. And that was a huge mistake. By day eight, I was so hungry that I did not pack enough food and had to go into town a day early. So to anybody who's a newer backpacker, just bring all the food that you packed. You probably will eat it or someone else will eat it. And it is worth carrying the weight.
Okay. Very good. I mean, how much food did you throw away?
Oh my gosh, too much. I mean, other people ate it and I gave it to other people and I put it in the hiker box, but like I got rid of like probably a day and a half's worth of food because I didn't think I was going to need it. And then, you know, I needed it. And I was like, oh my God, I need to go into town. I have no food. I will not make it.
Now, speaking of food, what is the one food item you thought about the most while you're on the trail?
Oh, that's a good question. Fruit. I ate a lot of fruit at home. Fruit. Bananas, apples, pears, peaches, you know, I eat all those things on the daily. So as soon as I got into town, I would get an apple and I would get like a bunch and I would eat one and then I would put like three in the fridge and then I would make them cold and I would just eat apples like all day long. And same with carrots. I ate so many apples and carrots in town and it was amazing.
I'm surprised by that answer. We usually talk about cheeseburgers, pizzas, chocolate shakes. Fruit rarely enters the conversation.
All those things are absolutely yes, and I ate all of them being in town, but like I missed fresh food. I cook a lot at home. I cook like almost all my meals, so it was really hard for me to not have fresh food and not have like, and I'm really lucky that I have such good access to fresh food and have such a clean diet. I'm really lucky in that way, and I missed it, you know.
Okay. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. Hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Luna. I want to thank her for joining us this week. Easy Rider, how can our listeners keep up with you on social media and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
Yeah, my Instagram is at Luna Sage in the Wild. I pretty much just do Instagram and then I've been trying to do TikTok, you know, why not? It's the new thing. So I'm also at Luna Sage in the Wild on TikTok, but primarily Instagram is probably where I'll be posting just fun stuff of my next adventures.
Okay. And Sage is your middle name?
Yeah. Sage is my middle name.
Luna Sage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How could she not be out in the outdoors with that kind of
name?
Right.
That's right.
Right.
All right. Hey, remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We're on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you have comments or clips you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
All right. Easy Rider. I'm looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, website, something that's going to help our listeners stay connected to outdoor adventures. We're calling this our adventure media recommendation. What do you have for us?
Cool. I've got two. So okay. I'm going to plug the podcast that kind of got me obsessed with the PCT in the first place. I think a lot of people actually might know about this podcast now, and she doesn't make new episodes, but go back and listen to some of them, and they're very inspiring. It's called the Hiking Through Podcast.
Okay.
Really, really good episode. She's got a lot of, like, you know, like Quadzillas on there, like a lot of good people are on there, and it just goes into like extreme detail about what it takes to be a thru-hiker. And that's kind of the podcast that got me like, oh, I really want to do this.
And who's the host? You say she.
Her name's Erin something. I can't remember her last name. She doesn't do any new episodes, but it's called Hiking Through. It's really okay. Good. Yeah. And then the other one is I'm reading right now The Dharma Bums. And that's kind of like the old school, you know, Gone with the Wind hiker thing. And that's been really interesting. I'm only like a couple chapters in, but I feel like that's going to be a really good book. And kind of is that mountainous, you know, that pull of the mountains.
Now, who wrote The Dharma Bums?
Jack Kerouac.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I, you know what? That totally makes sense. I had heard of The Dharma Bums. Yeah, Jack Kerouac.
Yeah, I'm like 10 chapters in and it's really good. You know, I'm at the point where they're going on their first hike of the book and they're getting out in the mountains and he's like, this is it, you know, this is living. And I'm like, yeah, that I know.
Okay.
What have we not asked you?
All right, Easy Rider, before we wrap things up, I've got just one more segment called What Have I Not Asked You That You're Dying to Tell Us About? What did we miss during the interview here?
Oh, man, I think we covered it. Anything you can think of?
You want to share maybe a little known fact about Luna Bailey?
I also do weightlifting. You know, I'm a hiker and a weightlifter. I'm like kind of hiker trash and gym rat. It's very weird. I do like Olympic style weightlifting, like snatch and clean and jerk. So if you know, I might have a little bit of that on the social media as well.
Okay. What weight are you snatching, cleaning and jerking?
My snatch is about 100 pounds right now. And then my clean and jerk's like 125. So
okay.
It's all right.
That's a good combo. I mean, I think there are probably benefits that you realize on the trail from your gym experience.
100%. Yeah. And now I'm just a hippie in the gym with the hairy armpits and the hairy legs. So it's really interesting.
Okay. There you go. Well, that is a wrap from the John Freaking Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, Luna?
Shout out to my mom, my sister, and, you know, just supporting me so much. I really appreciate all their love. It's been wonderful.
We got to the very end of the podcast to find out that you have a sister.
Oh, yeah. Her name's Willow. She's pretty cool, too.
Willow. What's her middle name?
Hannah Rose.
Willow Hannah Rose?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Shout out to Willow.
Nice. Oh, man. I wish I would have brought her up. But she's the best.
Do you have some Willow stories you can share in a future episode?
I'm sure I will. Yeah. She's in Oregon right now studying to be a helicopter pilot. So she's a badass for sure.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you for tuning in. Always remember the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if you're on the verge of a life-changing decision. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.